Acts chapter 18 from verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Yet his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and then left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. What excites you? What is your thing? Everyone's got their own thing. Like someone may say, well, my thing is cricket, you know, or my thing is, I don't know, tennis or squash or bowling. I don't know. Maybe your thing is finances. Maybe your thing is Scrabble. I don't know what your thing is. Maybe it's mountains. One of my things used to be mountains. I used to love the mountains. I still love the mountains. But it used to be one of the main things in my life. Well, let me ask you another question. Have you ever planted something and watched it grow? That's something that's just, you know, one of the things that excites me is seeing things grow. It's one of those things, I know on a Friday morning, it's my off morning, I put my phone off, I don't talk to anyone on Friday, so I just go outside as I wake up and I sit there in my garden and I look at all the stuff there that's been growing, all the green things, and I love it. And I put on the water and I just sit there, and it's just, for me, it's just experiencing God's creation. You know, sometimes I even take pictures of the plants to see how they grow. You know, the things about your past you didn't know. Anyway, so this is something that excites me. It really excites me to see growth. And when I walk in, I'm not a flower kind of guy, but when I walk into my garden and all this green stuff around me, I get really excited by the growth that I see. And sort of intense pleasure. And I want to tell you about God, something about God. God's thing is His glory. God's glory is only His. It doesn't belong to anyone else. No one can touch His glory. Never try to touch God's glory. But God's glory is His thing. And for that reason, God also enjoys when things grow. Everything that He made it to grow. Because as we as people grow, as everything that He made, as it grows, it brings Him glory. And this universe, we are made for His glory. We exist for His glory. I don't know if you ever thought about it like that. But God made us for His glory. And as we grow, as we mature in the Word, that's what God wants for every single one of us. And it brings Him glory because we bring forth fruit. And so He created all things to grow, you know, animals and plants and bugs and you. He made everyone so that we can grow in this life. And as things grow up, they bring glory to the Lord. But God enjoys us for growing for His glory and growing in understanding of His glory. Both those things are important to God. He made us so we bring forth glory to His name as we grow, but also as we grow spiritually, that we grow in understanding of who He is. That is the whole thing. Is as you grow in the Christian life, the more you're going to be looking to Jesus, the less you're going to be looking to yourself. And as we've been looking at the book of Acts so far, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, we've been going through for many weeks now. And the one thing we've seen is a lot of growth in the scriptures. We've seen the disciples understanding when they get saved, you know, the growth that took place in the church. Not just numerically, but spiritual growth. And this is something that excites me as I look at you guys. I've seen so many of you over the last couple of months just really grow spiritually, and it's really great for me to see that. I'm excited about that. And so Paul, you know, has become, as we follow him, he's become an example to us in many things. As we followed him, you know, on his second missionary journey now, remember the way that he followed now after the Holy Spirit leading him. Last time we saw him, he was an example to us in evangelism. We looked at two studies of Paul being that example in evangelism. And the last time he was weary, he was tired by ministry, you know, he was just beaten down a bit. He was entering into Sin City, you know, Corinth. We spoke about that last week. And as he was sitting there, God was just coming alongside and encouraging Paul, lifting him up, and just giving all these new things. We saw that God gave him some new friends. God gave him some new opportunities. A new church started there. And then also some new opposition rose up. But all those things God used to encourage Paul in this great work that he is doing. Because God wants to keep Paul growing. Even though he was an apostle, he was one of the guys who wrote things down. You never get to that point in your life where you say, well, I don't grow anymore. I've just got it all down. And Paul, God still wanted to walk with Paul. He still had some stuff that he wanted to do through Paul. And brought him all these things to encourage him. And today, as we continue, we're going to be looking at growth by the Holy Spirit. Or growing in the spiritual life. You know, spiritual growth. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And I was so blessed by the study. I didn't expect it at all as I was preparing and really praying what God wanted to share. And I'm so excited about the study that we have here this morning. There's one key verse that I want you to take note of before we start going through the verses. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." You see, as we grow in understanding of who He is. We grow for His glory. It's all about God's glory. And that's why it says they grow in the grace and knowledge. And then it says, "To Him be the glory both now and forever." That's really the prayer for our church that I really pray in my heart. Is that we may be able to grow for God's glory. That when He sees us, He may be just enjoying everything that He sees because it brings Him glory. And spiritual growth, if you are taking note, a number of things about spiritual growth. The basic thing that a Christian does is grow. That's the basic reason why God made us. So, you know, you get saved, you know, and then you start growing. And then as you start growing, fruit starts coming from your life, and God gets glory. That's the way it works. It's a very straightforward process. You get saved, you grow, you bear fruit, God gets the glory. That's the whole idea. But spiritual growth, that's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. If you are taking note, number one there. And number two, spiritual growth produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Jesus Christ. That's what spiritual growth is all about. Spiritual growth is not getting down some secret formula or following some clever steps to try and line up with what you think God says to try and... That's not what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is just abiding, being in Christ, being in God, and as you are focused on Him, growing in the knowledge of Him, the fruit will start showing in your life. That's the way it works. And so we're looking to a person, not to some kind of formula, because we want to abide in Him, as John 15:5 says. Have you ever maybe taken a branch off an apple tree and put it in a glass of water in your kitchen? And you're like, okay, grow, grow, grow. You know, it doesn't work like that. The thing's not going to grow apples standing there in the water in your kitchen. Why not? Because it's not plugged into the tree. It's not abiding in the tree. And that's the whole thing. Fruit doesn't grow by pressure. Fruit doesn't grow by keeping lists and trying to do things. Fruit grows by just abiding in Jesus Christ. By us as Christians, just being focused on Him, abiding in our relationship with Him, that is how fruit is produced. Any kind of fruit. You don't see the trees stressing because they have to bear fruit. It's just something that naturally happens as you abide in Christ. And so no formula. But there's something important because there is a progression in spiritual growth as we see in the spiritual life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Mark 4:28 says, "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head." So he talks about three stages how you grow in a spiritual life. He says, first the blade shows, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. And that's the whole idea. And I was linking that parallel to what he says in 1 John chapter 2 about the spiritual stages in life. And so this is sort of the backbone of the study. That's why I'm going through it. And I want you to take note very carefully here of 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12. He says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." So we see three stages here that he's speaking about, spiritual stages of growth. First one is the word children, but it's actually more referring to babies. It's the word technion in the Greek. And it refers to little children. Then he talks about fathers. the ones who are mature in the word, and then he talks about young men, the ones who are standing strong in the word. And as we're going to be going through this part of Acts here, we're going to be following sort of this outline here in 1 John chapter 2 of the stages of growth. And if you are taking note, number one there, we want to look at growing in the grace of God. Speaking about the children first of all. We're focusing now on that first part of your spiritual journey, the children growing in the grace of God. Because we know the Bible tells us we've saved by grace, right? Ephesians 2 verse 8. And as you are saved by grace, now you become a child of God. But now as you are saved and you become a child of God, you're a baby, right? You don't know much. You are just new in the spiritual life. Everything is new to you. And now you as a child still, and everything is overwhelming. And you spend the majority of your time just thinking like, oh, I'm so glad God saved me. And you're so overwhelmed by the salvation, the thing that he accomplished for you on the cross. And that's what you are very zealous in that stage. You know, you're running around. You want to tell everyone like, listen, God saved me. I used to be like that. Now I'm like that. I'm a different person. My life has changed. And we are excited as we are children in the Word. You're so amazed at the forgiveness of your sins and also at the fact that what it cost God. The price that God paid for your sins. And you're just overwhelmed by that. And as a child, that is enough for you. That's sort of, you know, that's where you are. You are just overtaken by that and blown away by that as a baby then. And so let's read there from verse 18. It says, so Paul still remained a good while, then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And so, what was Paul? Where was he? He was in Corinth. It says, he still remained a good while. He was not forced out of Corinth. He had a very fruitful ministry in Corinth. And so, why do you think that he still remained there a good while? You know, why did he remain? Because Paul, as we said last week, he had a heart for people, not just to be saved. He didn't just want to give them the gospel. Okay, now you know Jesus. He wanted to grow them in a spiritual walk. He wanted to sort of mature them, and the only way he knew how is to plug them into the Word. And so he wanted to always go back to these places and stay there as long as he could to minister to the people, to teach them from the Word, because he wanted them to grow. He's like, I'm so glad you're a baby now. I'm so glad you're a child, but now I want you to grow in the spiritual life, because it's not good enough for you just to stay there. He wants us to grow. And so how do you grow? Think about it. How do you grow in the spiritual life? What was Paul doing as we read this verse? Paul was teaching the Word of God. That's what Paul was doing. He was teaching the Word of God. The Word of God is what changes your life. You see, the Word of God is the focus. Acts 18 verse 11, it tells us, if you look back a couple of verses there to verse 11, it says, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the Word of God among them. So Paul was teaching the Word because he knew that is the only way that these people are going to grow is if they get plugged into the Word. That was his focus. And I want to give you a scripture that fits so perfectly with his study this morning. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's what the Word says. As soon as you understand who Jesus is, you get saved, you dig into the Word because it's the only way that you're going to grow. It's like pure milk, you know, and it's sort of like at that stage, you know, getting the basics down in the Christian life. Like, what is my assurance of salvation? What is prayer? You know, what is all these things? And you sort of get taught in all the basics by going through the scripture. You know, just understand what grace is, what love is, you know, who Moses was, who Arphaxad was. I'm just kidding. Who knows who Arphaxad was? Do you know, by the way? Okay. He was Shem's son. But Arphaxad is like one of those, it's like those basics. As you read, I read through the Bible with my kids now, so I get to all these interesting names, you know, as we're doing the beginning, the creation, everything like that. That's the basics. As you go and you start learning everything in the scripture, you just get filled up, and that's the whole idea. But something important about a child in God, a child in Christ, is your position is secure. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, your position in Christ is something that stays the same. It can't change. And just a couple of things to take note of there in your position in Christ. First of all, the Bible tells us, Colossians 2 verse 10, that we are complete in Him as a child of Christ. Secondly, the Bible tells us we have all things that's needed for life and godliness in 2 Peter 1 verse 3. And thirdly, we have received all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. That is the basics of the Christian life. That's the position. You see, because as we grow, we don't grow in these things. We don't grow in our standing with Christ, because from the moment that you are saved, you've got the same standing as everyone else. We are seated in the heavenly places. These things belong to us. It's our position in Christ. but now God wants us to grow on and go and learn in a number of ways. We need to grow in spiritual life, and we need to grow in the practical application of that spiritual life as we go on. So, we see now here this example of Paul just staying there, teaching them, because he realized at that stage this is what they needed the most to be able to grow. And it says there in the same verse, and he sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. So, these guys, Priscilla and Aquila, this couple, the married couple that he befriended, they became such good friends of his that they actually went alongside. When he felt God moving on, they said, well, let's go along. You know, so they went with him. They had such a good relationship. And it says then, also in that same verse, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. It was almost certainly the vow of the Nazarite. If you look at Numbers chapter 6, the vow of the Nazarite. That means that you didn't cut your hair, you didn't go close to the things of the vine, you didn't drink wine or grape juice, you didn't eat grapes or raisins or anything like that, you didn't touch a dead body. It's sort of that time where you consecrate yourself to God. You say, Lord, here's a special consecration. It doesn't have a time limit. Normally it was about 30 days where you say, I'm going to take a vow of the Nazarite, I'm not going to cut my hair, and I'm going to just specially consecrate myself to you, Lord, for these 30 days or for how many ever you want to go on. This is what he wanted to do, taking a vow, no cutting of his hair. And so this is interesting because we know in the, you know, a couple of chapters ago, Acts chapter 15, Paul told us very clearly that you don't have to keep Jewish ceremonies and rituals. It's not required for the Christian life. He was very clear about that. But also, this is a point to make. The people who want to keep Jewish ceremonies and rituals, it's not a problem. It's not something that's bad for you, as long as you don't keep it to try and have a good standing with God. As long as you don't do it for the reason of earning favor with God, like, Lord, I'm doing this so you can bless me, so you can see that I'm better. You know, that's the idea. It's not a problem if you do that. And so Paul, he grew up Jewish his whole life. And so now he had this desire to take this vow. And I think personally, maybe this, you know, just think about where Paul was. He was staying in Sin City now for more than a year and a half, for more than 18 months. And so maybe after he left Corinth, he was just like, Lord, I just want to consecrate myself fresh again to you. I just want to bring myself to you and just make a fresh vow of consecration. Just, you know, I just want to leave all the filth of that place behind me. You know, that's the feeling that I have. And as you cut your hair off, the whole idea is then you go through the 30 days and then you cut your hair again. And then you take that hair that you cut off again and you go and offer it to God in the temple as a special offering. Just to say, Lord, I've had this 30 days of total consecration to you. And I've got a feeling that's where Paul was after living in Sin City for so long. But it says there in verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So Ephesus, this is quite interesting because if you remember the way that Paul now went on the missionary journey, the previous time he tried to go to Ephesus, the Holy Spirit did not permit him. The Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, you can't teach to the people in Asia now. It's not the time for that. And we as people always think like, why does the Lord say something like that? But we know God's timing is perfect. We don't understand. And now we see, because now it's the time. Now he goes to Ephesus and God doesn't stop him. And now there's a lot of fruit coming from this place, Ephesus. So we see God's timing is just perfect as we are being led by the Spirit and just listening to him. But once again, he went to reason with the Jews. Paul, you know, he just had no stopping. He had such a heart for his countrymen, for the Jews to be saved. Every time, the first thing he did is he went to the synagogue, he went to reason with the Jews. He like pleaded with them, basically, understand Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, the Mashiach. He's the promised one. And he wanted to make it so clear to them. And here, in Ephesus, he actually had some good fruit. Look at verse 20. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. So, you know, he said, no, I can't stay any longer with you. That's a good sign when people tell you, please stay. Please tell us more, right? So there's a good thing. He spoke to the Jews and they're like, please don't go. We want to know more. We don't want to know more. And so we can see there's something really great that started taking place here. And just being flexible to God's Spirit, there's great results in his obedience because God's timing is always perfect. And this is sort of, you know, typical for new believers once again. If you are a child in God, you just want more. It's like, I remember the first time that I really got taught the Word of God. I couldn't get enough of it. You know, I was just like, I tried to go to every Bible study that I could find. I just went, I drove, I was like far away. I was in the United States. I didn't have transport. And so someone had to come pick me up. But I was there twice a week, every time I could get, because I was just like drawing it in, just being taught the word. I was so excited about that. It was a great time of growth for me. And it's the only way, like I said, we're going to grow. It's like you just cannot get enough. It's like my little son David now, you know. He just started eating. He just started eating some food, and he just can't get enough. It's like he just, you know, he'll do anything. He's just like, he wants to grab your food from you. He just wants to eat. He saw food is a good thing. You know, it fills you up and it makes you strong, and he just wants to grab it. And it's the same thing of a child of God. When you start experiencing the power of the word, then you just want to get this down. You want to sit there. Every spare moment you have, you know, you sit there reading the Bible, and, you know, it's a beautiful time of just being that child in the Lord. Number two, if you are taking note, the second stage, we're going to be talking about growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not only growing in the grace of God, but now growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, speaking about the fathers in the same sort of order that we have in 1 John chapter 2. The Father speaks of those who are mature in Christ, the mature men and women of the deep, long spiritual standing. And you know what? There's no way that you get a deep, long spiritual standing with the Lord overnight. It's something that doesn't happen. You can't just, it's like fruit. You can't force a fruit to, okay, come now, grow. It's something that doesn't happen that quickly. It's something that just by abiding in Christ, it takes many years to just understand and to grow in that maturity, to understand who God is, to be looking more and more to Him and less to ourselves, and to grow in the knowledge of who He is. That is what the fathers speak of. 1 John chapter 2 there, he says, fathers, because you have known Him. It speaks of that spiritual maturity. They've known the Father. They don't have a problem with that. It's not just the intellectual knowledge, like I know the facts in the Scripture, but it's a deep, intimate spiritual relationship because you know the Father because you've been walking with Him just for so long. You cannot imagine your life without Him. It's just that great, great relationship that you have with God Almighty, just fully living for Him, you know? Because in order to grow spiritually and grow mature, our focus must be on God's glory, like I said in the beginning. When we're young and we're little children, you know, all I want is me. Like, I want this toy. I want this thing. I want to go here. I want this now. As we're concerned about our own needs and our own desires. But as you grow in maturity and you finally become a father or a mother in Christ in that sense, there's a deep spiritual maturity and you're thinking about God's glory. And everything that you do is focusing on the glory of the Lord. You're not focusing on yourself. It's not, Lord, my will be done, but let me be less and less. And Lord, you become more and more as I look to you. And the more I get to know you, the more I abide in you. That's the whole idea of a spiritual fatherhood. And so sometimes we think, you know, a lot of people think, well, it's fine, you know. It's fine to know Jesus, but, you know, isn't there something more, something else that I can do? And I want to tell you very clearly and sincerely here this morning, there is no going beyond the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no going beyond that. You will never go beyond that. He is God Almighty. There is nothing beyond that. Just growing into understanding Him deeper and deeper, spending more and more time with Him. Because people think, okay, fine, I know Jesus now, but let me go on. There's no going on beyond that. He is the fullness. There's nothing more than knowing Jesus more intimately daily and daily. And so that's part of that spiritual maturity, going to know Him more deeper. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, as we look at the glory of the Lord, the more we consider how wonderful He is, the more we look into the face of Jesus, it says we are going to be growing from glory to glory into that same image. That speaks about the mature saint in Christ. His focus is the Lord. He's not worried about himself. He's not worried about it. It's a perfect picture of Paul. Paul becomes this perfect picture of a spiritual father in Christ because his whole time he's looking out for the children. He wants to feed them the word. He wants to get them to get into the Scripture and to do the things they must do. He's not worried about himself. He gets beaten. He gets bruised. He gets stoned. You know, he gets shipwrecked. Doesn't bother him because he's not into it for himself. He's just looking into the face of Christ, beholding His glory more and more as he grows with Him. And so, let's look there at verse 21. They said to him, stay with us longer. He did not consent, but he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. So first Paul says, I must keep this feast. As a father, there's also a lot of different responsibilities that you now understand. As a child, you don't understand that kind of thing. If I tell my kid, you know, I must just do this. It's like, why? He doesn't understand because he's a child. He's not concerned with that kind of thing. But as a father, you have responsibility. And Paul says, there's something I must do. I must by all means keep this feast. I'm not going to let this pass over. And then he says something very beautiful there at the end of the verse. He says, but I will return again to you, God willing. God willing. What a beautiful thing to say. The more you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as you mature, the more it's about God's will and not my will. You know, the society today is neglecting to say this kind of thing. Earlier years, when I was younger, you'd hear all the time, I will meet you tomorrow, you know, God willing. I would see you there, God willing. Today, we're just like, I'll meet you there, I'll see you. We're not interested, you know. Like Arthur shared this morning in the prayer meeting, he shared a verse about the fear of God. People don't understand the fear of God anymore. They don't have this reverence for God. Like everything we do in His time frame, in His timing. It's like, yes, I will see you tomorrow if it's God's will. God willing, I will be there. I'm planning to be there, but it depends upon the Lord. It doesn't depend on me. And the thing is, as you grow in a spiritual life, as you mature, you're going to be walking according to God's will. Yes, I want to do that, but I'll see if it's God's will, then I'll see you tomorrow. You know, that's just a beautiful way of putting it. And I think this term is largely missing in society today. You don't hear people speak like that. But that will be like that for the mature Christian. If you are mature in God, you will be saying, you know, I'll be wanting to walk with God's will, and this is what I want to do, but I'll see if that's what God wants for me. James 4, as he's speaking in chapter 4, there, from verse 13, he says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. You see, and I don't know what God has in mind, but I'm fully trusting Him. Whatever He has in mind for me is going to be the best thing. So I'm not on my own mission. This is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want. It's like, Lord, what do you want? That speaks about that spiritual maturity, and Paul is that example for us. In verse 22, and when it landed at Caesarea, he'd gone up and greeted the church. He went down to Antioch. It's quite interesting. He went up and he went down. So what's happening here? Caesarea that he got at, that is the closest seaport to Jerusalem. Because his main focus was, now I want to offer my head there in the temple. I want to offer this to God as a consecration. I've consecrated myself and I just want to get this done. This is an important thing to me as a mature saint in Christ. And so then he went up. As it says he went up, you always go up to Jerusalem. We talked about that before. No matter where you're coming from, even if you're coming from Everest, you're going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is always the spiritual high point. And whenever you go away from Jerusalem, then you go down again. So he went up to Jerusalem to pay his vow to the Lord in the temple, and then he went down to Antioch. Although Antioch in Syria is north from Jerusalem, he still went down to Antioch. So that's where he ended up going. And it says he greeted the church. Now, Luke doesn't tell us too much of what happened during this time. You know, he's trying to save some scroll space because space were valuable. And there's a lot of things that happened in the book, in the time of Acts, that's not recorded. You know, Acts is not a complete record of everything that happened during that time. It's only a sparsely record of the things that are really important for us to know. So he's not telling us what happened at this time, but obviously they were excited. He's been telling them about his second missionary journey and just sharing with them a good time at the church. And so it just said that he went. Verse 23. After he spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So now, as a mature father in Christ, his focus is, what does God want, and how can I be of service to the saints that really need the word of God? So he, once again, he starts going out because he wants to strengthen the people in the word. And I want to tell you this, I know we speak about this a lot, but the word should be the focus. If you want to grow, then immerse yourself in the word. I always tell you, read your Bible and pray every single day. If you want to grow spiritually, that's what you should do. Just get into the word. The word will fill you up. It will overwhelm you. And the thing is, so amazing is every time you read this, you know, every year I try to read through a version of the Bible. I try some version or some reading plan. Every year I read through the Bible. And every year you read through it again, you're like, man, it's amazing, because you learn something new every time. And that's the thing about the Word of God. It's a living book. It's not a book that after a while, I just know that, you know. I know Moses went up into the mountain. No. Every time, it's because it's a living book, God reveals something new to you. And every time you read it, there's something special, something new. So just get into the Word. That is really my exhortation to you this morning. The thing is about Paul, he went in to strengthen the people. His question would not be, how big is your church? Paul's question would be, how strong is your church? And then he would also say, like, well, what can I do to strengthen you even more? That was Paul's heart. He just wanted to build up the people. So how can I get you in the Word? What can I help you with? What can I help you to understand in the Word? Because I know the Word is going to grow you. And so that is the perfect picture of a father in Christ, someone who just had this beautiful heart. But also, I don't know if you noticed it, between verse 22 and verse 23, there's a change. Something happens. Look at verse 23 again. After he spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen disciples. This is where Paul's third missionary journey starts. His second missionary journey has ended, and now the third missionary journey starts right here. He's going back once again. He's not even back for a moment. He just pays his vow, goes to the church, and then immediately he's back on his third missionary journey. So Paul is just on the way to work for the Lord. Just about 2,400-kilometer journey that's going to take him through Tarsus, through Derbe, through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch and Pisidia. And so Paul is fully now on his next missionary journey. And if you are taking note, number three there, the third section, growing in dependence on the Holy Spirit. And that speaks about the young men. We talked about the children now. We talked about the mature fathers in Christ. And now we're going to be talking about the young men. Now, young men, there's a reason why they're last on John's list. Because it doesn't make sense, you know, if you think like it's first a child, then you become a young man, and then you're a father. But the way that John mentions it, he mentions the child first, then the father, and then the young men. There's a reason for that. Because young men are the guys who are at the front line. They are fighting the battle. You don't send children to war. You don't send the old guys to war. You send the young men to war. The ones who are full of blood and energy and fervent in the Lord. Those are the ones that you send to do the battle. You understand? So they are last on the list in that sense. Young men, no longer little children, but no, not mature as fathers yet. So they're not there yet, but they are so fervent. They're full of the Holy Spirit, and they are in the Word we're going to see now. They're like the front line of God's work among His people. And here in verse 24, we meet a new guy. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, and an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So here's the first time we meet this guy, Apollos. And Apollos, in this chapter to me, becomes a picture of the young men in Christ, the ones who are fervent in the Word, the ones who stand up and fight the battle as it's supposed to be fought. He becomes a picture. There's a number of amazing things about him if you read the scriptures. First of all, it tells us here he's eloquent. Right? So he's an eloquent man. But more important than that, just look on a bit there. It says, verse 24, eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. That was what a young man is. Or not just a young man, a young woman too, right? All the ones who are fervent for the Lord. They are mighty in the scriptures. So and the thing I like about it, no matter what stage you are looking at, whether you're looking at the children, they have to grow in the Word. Whether you are looking at the saints, the mature saints, they are abiding in the Word. Whether you're looking at the young men, they are growing in the Word and mighty in the Word. Everyone's in the Word because the Word is where you grow. The Word is where you spend your time, where you get to learn all these things. And so mighty in the Scriptures. He knows the Word. Not only does the young man know the Word, but he can explain the Word. He can tell people about the Word. He can go out and do the work of the kingdom. That's what a young man in Christ does, or a young lady in Christ does. 1 John 2 verse 14 says, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You see, a young man in Christ or a young woman in Christ are no longer, oh, now I'm up. Oh, now I'm down. This week is terrible. Oh, I'm up. Now I'm down again. You know, oh, God loves me. Oh, God hates me. I'm a sinner. Oh, you know, that kind of walk that we sometimes have in the Christian life. A young man, he's more cruising on a steady level. He's no longer like a child, like, whoop, going like this. Now, you know, like the Christian walk like that. He's like, wow. I know the Lord loves me. I know my standing in the Lord. I'm mighty in the scriptures. I can stand up and I can read this and I can reason with the people. And so it also says there, the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So, overcoming the wicked one. Also speaking about no longer just falling under temptation the whole time, like regularly, like now you're standing on the Word of God. You know how to battle the enemy. You know what the wiles of the devil are about. And you can fight the wiles of the devil. You stand up against it. So you're no longer falling into temptation every time, you know, just like you did when you were still a child in Christ. Now you are standing strong. The thing is, there's an enemy, and we have to be aware of it. And because of the fact that there's an enemy, sometimes people try to stay in a spiritual sort of childhood as long as they can because they don't want to go out and battle the enemy. They're afraid of the enemy. They're like, well, I'll just rather stay a child because then I don't have to face the big bad Satan out there, right? The fact is, God wants us to grow. He doesn't want you to stay a child. He wants you to grow, to be mature, so you can actually go out and do what He called you, to stand up against the enemy, because He's given us all the means to do that. And so, it's quite important, but it's also wrong to just want to stay in the spiritual infancy the whole rest of your life. You know, my son Ben, he can stay in his room for hours, you know, and play with the little Lego cars that he makes, or the dinosaurs, you know, with the sounds and everything, like, you know, he could go on like that for hours, you know, and it's cool because he is a six-year-old kid. But now imagine for one moment, my wife calls me in from the office, like, honey, come have some dinner, and I'm like, I'll be ready right now, like, you know, do all these things. There's going to be something wrong there, you know, she's going to be like, what's happened, you know? If I sit there and I play for hours with these little things, because I'm supposed to grow up. The same with my little baby. You know, David now, he is so cute and adorable. You want him to sort of one sense just stay there. But if 5 years passes and he's still just where he is now, like, you know, you can't say a word, do anything, I'm going to be worried, right? Because that's not normal. That's not what you want for your child, right? You want growth. Growth in a Christian life is part of what God wants for every one of us. So it's great to be a child if you're a child in God. But then God wants you to grow up to become a young man, and He wants you to grow up to become a father eventually in Christ. That's His desire for us. He doesn't want us to stay there being just on this one level, because growth is what God made us for, so we can bring Him glory. And so I think, unfortunately, there are many people today who are saved. They've known the Lord for a long time. But they think, I'm on this Christian plateau. They're not really growing. There's not growing in their spiritual lives. There's not going closer towards the Lord. They're not beholding more of His glory as they grow. They sort of, you talk to them 5 years later or 10 years later, and they're still exactly in the same place where they was as a child. And that is unfortunate. That's not the way God wants it to be. And I always say, this is not supposed to make you feel bad. This is supposed to give you a real look at your own life. Because there is no such thing as a plateau in a Christian life. As soon as you start standing still, then you are backsliding in some kind of way. God wants us to grow. You'll always be growing. Sometimes like it'll feel like you're going up a wall. Sometimes it'll be like this. But there will always be growth. As long as you are plugged into the Lord, there will be a continuous growth, because that's what God wants. You'll never be, I'm just standing still. This is just where I am now. No, it's always a danger sign when we are at a place like that. Philippians 4 verse 13, something that the young men in Christ can say. They can say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You see, God wants us to grow. If you look at the picture of the church, Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read to you verse 12 and 13. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature in the fullness of Christ. You see, eventually God wants us to grow up where you can say, you're a perfect man. We know something's going to happen on this life. But as we grow in the sanctification process, we grow more and more in the knowledge of God. That's His desire. And the thing that amazes me about the Lord is the more you know Him, the more you grow in Him, there's still more to grow and more to know. That's the thing. I don't know if you've thought about it, but we're going to spend eternity with Him, with God in heaven. If you are a child of God, you're saved. And every day you're going to go like, wow, the Lord is amazing, for the rest of eternity. You'll never get to that place where you say, well, Lord, I know you now. Sort of, you know. No, the Lord will always amaze you for eternity. There's always more room to grow. And that's why I think if you look at these, normally the people respond in different ways. But God wants us to grow. Look there at verse 25. This man, Apollos, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So, he was not only eloquent and brilliant and instructed in the Lord, but he was on fire for God. That is the typical picture of a young man in Christ. Someone who's just fervent for the Lord. I know the word. I know this can change your life. Let me share with you. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. You know, the ones who are passionate and fervent for God. And the word for fervent there is the Greek word theo, and it means to be boiling or bubbling in the spirit. That's really what it means to. He's like so filled with the Holy Spirit, you just can't wait, and you like you know what you are sharing is something that the people need. That's what a young man in God does. He is sharing the word of God. Now, we know from the scriptures further that Apollos, he was a Jew. He was from Alexandria, which is in Egypt. And so, interesting kind of guy, but a really great guy. And it says, although he was instructed in the Lord, although he was fervent for the Lord, he only had the baptism of John. So, although he was all these things, he still lacked something. There was still a lack in his life. He was not complete yet. He was not full yet in his understanding of many things. And so, you know, he was very possibly a disciple of John the Baptist. As you know, John the Baptist went out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was his message. And so he was probably one of the disciples who followed after John the Baptist. And he got baptized with the baptism of repentance. And it's possibly that he knew who the Messiah was. He was preaching the Messiah. He was expecting the Messiah. It's possible that he even knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But still, there was many things after that he didn't know. He didn't understand what happened at the cross. He didn't understand the resurrection. And there's so much more after that. He didn't understand the fullness of the Spirit. He didn't understand what baptism of the Holy Spirit was all about. So although he was fervent, he was teaching the things accurately, there are many things that he still lacked. Look there at verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now this is quite amazing for a number of reasons. Aquila and Priscilla, this beautiful couple that loves Paul, that's really close companions to him, they're sitting in the synagogue, they're listening to Apollos speak. And they're like, man, he's teaching everything accurately, he's boldly, he's precise. The thing I like about Apollos, you know, is he's just teaching these things, although he don't know everything yet, the things that he does know, he teaches them accurately. He's busy doing that. But then Aquila and Priscilla, you can imagine they're sitting down there and they just give each other that look that a husband and wife can sometimes give each other. You don't have to talk. You're just like, you know, we've got to speak to this guy. There's a lot of stuff he doesn't know yet. You know, he's missing out. And they can just give each other this kind of look there in the synagogue. And so afterwards, the thing is they pull him aside and they explain the way to him more fully. This to me is beautiful because first of all, Aquila and Priscilla, they did what God called them to do. Right? They were being used mightily here because here's a guy that was on fire for the Lord. And they saw there's just something that's missing there. And they just came alongside of him, not in front of everyone like, hey, Apollos, let me just tell you, you don't know half of it, you know. They didn't do that. They called him aside by himself. And he's like, okay, you know, let me just show you. There's some more things. Some things you don't understand. And they explained the way to him more fully. So to me, that is amazing. They did what they were called to do. They were beautifully building into the kingdom of God, very valuable at this stage. But also, the other thing that happened is, if you look at Apollos' side, he was humble enough. He was humble enough to accept this from them. Because what we often find, a lot of young men who are fervent for the Lord, you know, you just want to, hey, let me just tell you, like, no, I know what I'm talking about, you know, and I'm so bold and I'm always right kind of thing. And that's what oftentimes happened. But this guy, Apollos, not only was he mighty in the scriptures, he was humble enough to listen to these two. The married couple that said to him, listen, we just want to share the word of you with you more clearly, more fully. And he sat down and he grew under that. And you know, that's one way that you grow. Is by being open to be corrected and being open for the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. Never to come to that place where you say, well, you know, no one can tell me anything. And it's always scary to me because you find people who just think, well, I've arrived. And I remember when I was a student, you know, I sort of had a moment like that where I thought, well, now I really know the Lord, you know, now I'm just happening, you know. And then after that, as you start growing in the Lord, then you think, oh, man, I don't know anything yet, right? The moment that you think you know, you're definitely not at a good place because then you're really immature. The more mature you grow in Christ, the more you realize, I need to learn. I need to be open for the Lord to move me. And he was not too high strung to go be taken aside by them so you can be blessed. Even though he was just baptized with the baptism of repentance. Remember what John the Baptist said, Matthew 3 verse 11. He says, indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's something we have to understand. Apollos missed out on so much. If he was not open to listen to them, he would miss out on a lot of the things about the Christian life. There's many things for him to learn still. You see, the power behind spiritual growth is the Holy Spirit. And Apollos is now a young man, fervent in the word, but growing. That's the way God wants you. No matter where you are on that ladder, God just wants you to keep on growing, right? Matthew 5, 6. One of the scriptures I love. I love the whole Matthew and Matthew 5 especially, but it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The ones who hunger for God, the one who said, "Lord, tell me more. I want to know more of who you are. I hunger and thirst for righteousness." God says, if that's your heart, you will be filled. It's a promise. And so it's exciting for us to look at that. But once again, back to Ephesians 4. Speaking about the church, verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." God wants us all to grow up in love. That's his desire for us. That's why God made you. He wants you to grow. He wants to look at your life and say, "Man, I'm so proud of my boy. I'm so proud of my girl." The ones who are growing in the word, the way that I made them to grow. You see, and the way that he says is speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in all things. Aquila and Priscilla, they came alongside. They spoke the truth to him, but they spoke it to him in love. That's the way that you learn if someone comes alongside of you and does that. And I think, like I said, it's amazing because first of all, they ministered to him. And secondly, he was open to be ministered to. But then it says in verse 27, "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace." So they received him. As he wanted to go on, now the brethren, they all get together, they write him letters of recommendation, they send him on his way. And as he gets there, he's a blessing to the church. Because now, as he's growing, he is more fully mature in the Lord. He's still fervent, he's still passionate about God, but now his knowledge is more complete. Now he can tell him about the fact what happened after that, that Jesus actually didn't only just get crucified, but he went down into the grave to pay for the sins of the world. Then he got resurrected, and our hope lies in the resurrection. And then after that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. So now you can tell him about all these other things just as boldly as he used to. Verse 28. "For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." So Apollos had an amazing ministry, and he used the scriptures, you know, as the ground that he reasoned from. I love that, because not only is he growing and mighty in the scriptures, he still, every time he reasons, he doesn't refer back to himself or his intellect or his knowledge. He takes you back to the word of God. When he reasons with them, he reasons with them from the scriptures. And this morning, this is really what the Lord laid on my heart. The Christian life is about growing. The Christian life is about advancing, going forward in the Lord. As you continue just to understand what God has for us. Growing up, doing what God calls us to do for the glory of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 5 to 7 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." You see, at the end of the day, the focus is God. Because at that stage, a bit later, because Apollos was such a successful man, some people said, "No, we for Apollos." Other people say, "No, we for Paul." Paul says, that's not the way it should be. Me and Apollos, we're not the picture. You know, someone plants, someone waters, but who makes the seed grow? Who does the work? It's God who gives the increase. So Paul can say, "Listen, guys, just get in the word," but it's God who gives the increase as you get into the word yourself. It's only God who does the spiritual work, and therefore, God is the only one who gets the glory. No one else can stand up and say, "Listen, look what I have accomplished." None of us can accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not looking to people. We're not edifying people. We want to keep on focusing as we grow on God's glory and on who he is. And I think the tricky part this morning is for every one of us to realistically look at our own lives and say, you know, where am I with Christ? Am I a child in Christ? Am I a young man in Christ? Am I a mature father in Christ? Where is my walk with Christ? And not to be condemned like, oh, you know, I should be there and I'm here kind of thing. But just to accurately look at yourself. Because if you don't see yourself in truth, then there's no way that you can actually move forward and grow. We each have to know where we are before we can grow. You understand? It's not sort of like the psychologists talk about the superego, seeing yourself as who you think you want to be one day kind of thing. That's not what we want to look at here when we look at this. We want to just look at ourselves as who we are at the moment. Where am I at the moment? Am I still, you know, going like this the whole time? Am I like a child in Christ, standing on the basic things, excited about Him? Am I going on from that, maturing in the Lord? And am I actually going further, just deeply abiding in Christ because I've been walking with Him so solidly for so long, and I just fully look into His face and desire to know more of Him and His glory? Is that our heart? And it's just something just for yourself to consider so that we can grow. And then to know that the answer is to get into the Word, to seek the Lord in prayer, and you will grow. It's like my one tree I've got there right by my back door. I love that tree. I just give it some compost and some water and the thing grows. It happens. And if you just get in the Word, you will grow. It's a guarantee. Mark my words. Try it out. Just dig into the Word of God. And so my prayer, I think, for every one of us in this church this morning is Colossians 1 verse 9 to 10. That says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see, that's what it's about, increasing in the knowledge of God. The more we know about Christ, the more we know about the person, not just intellectually, but that heart, that personal relationship we have with Christ, the closer we draw to Him, the more we're going to bring glory to Him, the more there's going to be fruit in our lives. And so that is what God has for every one of us.